Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy.
We are in the series of the classics. And, you know, last week, AJ started talking about starting with Ruth and Naomi and how faithful Ruth was. And so, great woman of God. We can learn a lot. And these stories that we're going to be talking about over these next few weeks are stories that we all know. Stories that, you know, they're stories we learned in Sunday school, most of us, because a lot of us grew up in traditional churches with Sunday school, and they're just stories that we know. And so today he's asked me to talk on David and Goliath. Again, we don't know that one. You know, nobody knows it. So, you know, we're going to dive deep into it, and we're going to talk a lot about some details in the story, and then a different way that I guess that I felt God calling me to talk about it. You know, just a story about how God can use anyone to overcome, you know, worldly greatness, what we see as great within this world. So before we start, let's pray to God. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for everyone here, Father. I just thank you that we can be here, Father, just to be in this time of worship with you. I just pray that you just open up our hearts this morning, open up you know, the words that you have to say, Father, just allow them to penetrate our lives, Father. Allow them to be used and to glorify you here and every day, Father. And I just thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. So, David and Goliath, we're going to be out of 1 Samuel 17, and this is my only slide, so get used to it. So I'm not going to have a bunch of slides. I told AJ we were going to do something different. So as we get into this, let's just remember kind of where we are in 1 Samuel. And so in chapter 16, David has just been anointed as king by God. So the Spirit has left Saul. And so we're getting into the Israelites and the Philistines getting ready to battle, which seems like that's all the time even now. So, you know, so we're going to start, and we're going to kind of read through chapter 17, certain pieces of it, and then I'm going to just talk through some of it, just because it's a lot of verses, and I don't know if you want to hear me read all of them and then talk about all of them again. So, starting in verse 1. So, now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. And they were gathered in Socoh, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and a shield bearer went before him. So, as I just said, they're getting ready to battle. They, you know, just like any army, every time I think of a battle, I don't know why I think of this, but I think of the Redcoats. I think of them just standing there in a line looking at each other. You know, I think of the movie The Patriot when all the Redcoats and the U.S. Army are just standing there staring at each other and they're shooting at each other. That's all I think of with battle. And that's what I imagine these, you know, they're standing on these mountains staring at each other. And then this ginormous of a man walks out from the crowd. And this thing says that he is 6 cubits in a span. Does anybody know how big a cubit is? That's about 18 inches. And a span is about 6 inches. So if this is accurate, Goliath was 9 feet tall. 9 feet, 6 inches tall. That's a big man. I don't look up to a lot of people, but that would be like that. all the time. And I like to think of him, and Robin and I, we watch Dancing with the Stars, Secrets Out. This time, I won't give any, I don't know if y'all haven't seen it yet, I won't give any, like, who's terrible and who's good. I won't give any of that. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is on there this year, and he is 7'2". And him and, like, you think of basketball players, we think of tall people. Him, Yao Ming, Shaquille O'Neal, 7-footers. And those are what we consider be, like, some of the tallest men that we have. But, you know, Kareem would be looking up to Goliath. You know, Goliath is if I took my daughter Addison and had her stand on my shoulders, he would still be a little taller than that. And she's 4 feet tall. So there's big, big man. But then we look at his size. So yes, he's tall. We get it. Tall guy. But you look at Kareem Abdul, he's skinny. He's real skinny. Like his legs look like the size of my forearms. He's just a skinny guy. But Goliath was, I don't think, was a pretty skinny guy. You know, this thing says he had a coat of mail that weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's about 125 to 150 pounds of weight that he just ran around with. That's like carrying Chris Young around on my back all the time. You know, that would be terrible. I couldn't deal with that. So he can carry this around. He had pretty much covered in bronze head to toe. And then he had this spearhead that had the head of the spear was 600 shekels of iron. So that's about 15 pounds. So then imagine being able to throw something that has a head that's 15 pounds. So Goliath was a big dude. I would probably be terrified too, just like they were when he came out. I could just imagine him, or even if he just came through them doors and just started yelling at me, I would just walk and leave. I mean, big dude. So he comes out, you know, and then the next thing he does is he speaks. So we're going to continue in verse 8. He says, "He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." So this is where I see God starting to come in, because if you think about, like, I look at, like, our army of one. If one man came out and threatened our entire army, I'm pretty sure they would just laugh a little bit and just be like, okay, you're one guy. We have thousands. Let's go. You know, but they all were afraid. Every single one of them afraid of Goliath. And I feel like this is where God's saying, okay, let's use this moment to teach these Israelites, you know, that I am their God and that I can do things. You know, so, you know, he's yelling at these guys and they're just trembling, cowering down. I mean, I like to kind of put myself in the story, and I think about even now, if we fought battles like that now, if we were like, all right, we're going to have our greatest warrior in America fight hand-to-hand combat with some other country's greatest warrior. I don't know if I would agree with that, because I'm pretty sure we would lose, especially if I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I would lose terribly. You know, but if all these armies were okay, all right, let's just send our best person out. And, you know, you think the king of Israel would be like, no, we're just going to have everybody fight and we'll win that way. But no, he was afraid of this giant man. So this is when, in the story, this is when David starts coming in. So continue on in verse 12, it says, "Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest. 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David, his son, Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well, and bring some token from them." So, in comes David, little old David. Chapter 16 says he was a handsome guy, really pretty eyes. Kind of interesting way to, I guess I don't really think of other men to be like, "Man, that guy has really good looking eyes." I don't think of that. But that's how the Bible described him. So I like to imagine he was probably a really good looking dude. So, you know, he comes in and he's going back and forth feeding his sheep, you know. And again, he is the youngest. So God is taking this moment to, you know, he knows David, he knows his bravery, his courage, and he knows that he's going to do what he's commanded to do. You know, his father could have sent anybody, any of the other brothers. You know, he said he had 8, and he was the youngest. He could have sent any of them to come on behalf of all of them, but he sent his youngest, David, his most faithful son, to do what he's asked him to do. And so he trusted David. So this is where I'm going to start kind of pulling in some verses kind of all together. You know, and Jesse here was, he was being a good dad. He was worried about his boys. He was sending his son, "Hey, go check on your brothers. Make sure they're okay. Let's, you know, I want you to give them food and bring some cheese to your commander to let him know, like, hey, we support y'all. You know, we're here." But all the while, Goliath has been coming out every day and yelling at these men, and these men just sit there in fear. You know, again, I would be one of them. So, you know, all these men are just cowered down. You know, and David is here, and he sees all this. So he sees all these men, these mighty men that he's looked up to, these Israelites that he's looked up to that have fought these battles, and he's like, "What in the world are y'all doing?" You know, he's there just listening to these men. They're talking about Goliath and how, what will happen if he wins, what will happen if the Israelites win, and David, you know, he just doesn't really get it. So he starts speaking up to these men, and he says, "Who should defy the armies of the living God?" You know, he's speaking to all these men. David's a little guy. He stands up and speaks to all these men. And his oldest brother didn't really like that. His oldest brother was like, "Well, you know, this prideful thing of being the older brother, you know, I'm the oldest. If my brother was speaking for me, I probably wouldn't like it either, you know, because you're supposed to be the strong one, the tough one, you know, being the oldest, and here comes little David out there showing you up, letting everybody think, hey, I'm in the brother's eyes, he's better than me. He can handle this situation, because you know all these brothers are just as afraid as everybody else. They're all just backing away, like, no, I'm not going to sacrifice my life for Israel because I'm not going to win. You know, not one of them trusted that God was going to deliver them. So David was just really confused about all this. And so he comes up to Saul and he says in verse 32, he says, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." You know, David had this pulling on his heart saying, "All right, it's time for me to go to work." He says, "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." So first Saul hears this and he's like, "No, we're good. Thanks. You know, you stay out there. We'll handle it." You know, and he tells David, "Hey, you're just a young guy. You're a youngin', and Goliath has been fighting since he was a youth. He's been fighting all this time, and obviously he hasn't lost because he's still here, and he's still the giant." You know, and so, you know, David is still talking to Saul. He's not really pleading with him, but all he says is, you know, he's fought lions and bears, and he's killed them. And all he says to Saul in the end, in verse 37, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul heard this and said, "All right, go, and the Lord be with you." All God. In my opinion, this is my interpretation. Saul, mighty King Saul, lets a little boy go fight for the entire country and just says, "Go." That, to me, is just crazy. And I have a feeling that when he said that, his mind went, I can't believe that actually came out of your mouth. We all have those moments where we say things. I have them daily, where we say things and we're like, oh man, that should have stayed in. You know, and that happens all the time. But you know, I feel like Saul said, and was like, well, too late now, he's gone. And you know that there had to have been some fear inside of David. You know, this fear was like, I can't believe I'm going to go do this. But David was faithful. He knew if he trusted in God, everything was going to be okay. So continue on, and the king tells David to go put some armor on, and he puts this big, heavy armor on that was too big for him, you know, kind of like when, you know, our kids are, my wife wears my shirts. They're just big armor. And David just takes it off. And again, I look at this, you know, all these men are there and they're all looking at little David and they're like, he's not going to take any armor. He's not going to take anything. All David does is he goes and he grabs a staff. He gets 5 stones from the brook. He puts them in his little pouch and he starts heading out towards this Philistine. So this little guy, probably in sandals and whatever they wore back then, walking out there, pouch over his shoulder, holding a stick. He's got a sling in his little pouch and some rocks. And he's walking towards this man who I'm assuming he was just looking up like this. Man, that's a big guy. You know, and Goliath is probably laughing because he sees David. So we'll continue on in verse 41. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with the shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. See, he must have been good looking. They even mentioned it twice. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you have come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, get this. This is faith. You know, he's talking to this man. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Then I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. Now, that's trusting God. I'm not even come with a sword. And you know Goliath was, like, laughing because he was probably thinking, like, when I guess it's kind of like probably when I wrestle with my kids because they're here and I'm here. And when they run at me and I put my hand on their head and they just do this, and then I just think Goliath's probably like, I'll just do that, and then I'll just hit him right on the head and he'll be done. Be done, and we'll take Israel and... you know, and it'll be easy. And that's just kind of how I imagine Goliath, because you know he was just laughing, looking at all his guys and just being like, all right, let's go do this. This will be the easiest thing I've ever done. So David, you know, he's walking. He was, again, I still feel like there was a lot of fear in him, but he was like, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do what I know what to do. And so continue in verse 48. It says, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There were no swords in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. So David won. Shocker. We know the story. David won. He prevailed. The Israelites then cheered him. I like to think it was started with a slow clap because they didn't really expect it to happen. You know, they were all still trembling in fear. But yet, David came out and showed them our God is bigger than Goliath. Goliath was probably the biggest thing, especially human, that they'd ever seen. And, you know, David comes out and he's giving God all the glory. You know, he does exactly what he says. You know, he takes the head and he, you know, he carries it, puts it on a table, and all of Israel is cheering because the Philistines, they're like, man, if this little guy can defeat our best warrior, then what's the rest of Israel going to do to us? So that is the story of David and Goliath, but we're not ending just there. So I look at this story a little bit differently than what we've always been taught of it as. We look at it as, you know, David was so brave, he had so much courage to go out there. You know, he was so faithful to go out and do this, and God, which is all true, God knew this. God made David. He knew exactly what he was capable of. He knew that he would go out there, trust in everything that God could do, and he was going to take care of everything. But I look at this a little differently, because I look at it as a time that David was just an ordinary guy. Yes, God created him, but God gave him gifts, just like he's given all of us gifts. He created David to be courageous, to be brave, to be faithful. And David knew that. And David was willing to put all that on the line and do it. So with this story, I like to think of it and look at it as, how can all of us, what are all of our gifts? You know, God has created each and every one of us with gifts. Some are glamorous, some are not. You know, we're not all called to do the same thing. We're not all called to be like everybody else. You know, some of us can sing, some can talk. Some of y'all don't need to sing. And that's okay. You can sing as loud as you want, but you might, if you don't get invited up here, who cares? You know, as a Christian, we are called to glorify our God in everything and in all that we can do. So if we're going to do that, then we have to know what some of our gifts are. We have to know that God has created us to do some things, and he has created us to have these abilities. And we might not know what they are. We might know what they are, but we're afraid to actually use them. You know, last year, I would not have been here. I can tell you that much, because this is not, I'm comfortable speaking in front of people. I do it for work all the time, but speaking in this aspect, this is not comfortable for me, but I felt God has called me to come out of my comfort zone. That's why I put that video about everywhere is our mission field. You know, if we are called to glorify God in everything that we do, then we are supposed to be like Jesus everywhere, not just where it's comfortable, but even when it's uncomfortable, even when, you know, we have to go fight a Goliath, you know, even we have to do that. We have these gifts, we have these abilities that God's given to us that we're supposed to use to bring him honor. And if you don't know what yours are, or, you know, or are too afraid, you know, a lot of us have the gift of prayer. And really the gift of encouragement. We know just the words to say to make somebody like, oh yeah, that's great. I know I can do that now. Thanks for that, you know, that word. And, you know, if we can all start to realize and actually seek after God for our gifts, then he's going to use them. It's not going to be comfortable, like I said. He's going to use them in the most inopportune times that you'd ever think. And it's going to put you out of your comfort zone. But you know what? That's okay. Not everything is supposed to be comfortable. Not everything is supposed to be easy. You know, God didn't say, hey, once you get saved, everything is taken care of. It's smooth. Yeah, we know the ending. I know where I'm going. You know, we had a death in our family this week, and it was my grandmother. And it was a sad day, but it was also a time of rejoicing, because I know that I'm going to see her again. And I know that I'm supposed to be here to do what God has called me to do, whether uncomfortable or not. So I really want to encourage you as we leave today and as we go to find somebody. If you need somebody to talk to, come find me. Come find AJ when he gets back. Come find any of our other elders, Eric, Matt. We're here to talk with y'all, to pray with you, to help you find some of these abilities and gifts that you have that maybe you don't know what they are. Maybe you just need somebody to pray for you so you can find them. And spend some time in God's Word. You know, this week, as we go, if we can really focus in on what God has called us to do, just imagine what our church can do. And for those of y'all that, you know, are just here first time and don't know who this Jesus is and who God is, you know, we would love to talk to you. I can't save you by any means, but God can. And we're here to help you, help lead you closer to God. And all we ask for you to do is be open and to seek after Him. So let's pray.
Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or have been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.